Ramayana Part 2, Chapter 2, Devastation in Ayodhya, Section 3, Dasharatha Dies. As Kaushalya was speaking, the sun set. Dasharatha, being comforted by his wife, fell into a restless slumber for an hour. Upon waking, he sat there sighing and recalled something he had done when he was a young prince. Realizing that long past deed to be the cause of his present suffering, Dasharatha related it to his wife Kaushalya. Without doubt, a person receives the results of his own actions, good or bad. O my gracious Queen, one who acts without consideration of the results, both immediate and long term, is surely a fool. If a man cuts down a mango grove because the trees have unattractive blossoms, and instead plant the brightly flowering palasha trees, that same man will later lament when the bitter fruits of the palasha appear. By sending Ram away, I have indeed cut down a mango grove just as it was about to bear fruit. Now I am tasting the bitter palash. Dasharatha felt as if his heart might burst. He maintained his composure with great effort and continued. A long time ago, as a youth, before we were married, I went to the forest to hunt. I had acquired great skills as a bowman, and I could easily hit even an invisible target just by its sound alone. Little did I know that this skill of mine, of which I was so proud, would yield such disastrous results. It was the rainy season, and the rivers were swollen. One night, going out on my chariot, I made my way to the Saruya River. I waited. There in the darkness by the river bank, I waited for a buffalo or an elephant to come by. Soon I heard the sound of gurgling just at a point nearby. Although I could not see what caused the sound, I was thinking the sound to be that of an animal drinking. I took out an arrow and released it. And from the place where I shot my snake-like arrow, there came a loud wail from some forest dweller. That crying, in distinct and painful tones, I heard the following. How has this weapon fallen upon a harmless ascetic like myself? To whom have I given any offense? I am a simple seer who has forsworn violence, and I live only on fruits and roots. Oh, I am killed. What foolish person has hurled this arrow? This act will result only in evil. I do not grieve so much for myself, but for my aged and helpless parents, for without me, I am their sole support. How will they survive? With a single arrow, Some ignorant fool with an uncontrolled mind has killed me and both my parents. Weeping all the while, as he was telling the story, Dasarath continued. When I heard that mournful shout, I was mortified. My bow and arrows fell from my hands. I was all but overwhelmed with grief, and I dropped to the ground. Almost, I lost my mind. I scrambled toward the source of the voice, with my mind utterly perplexed. There, lying on the bank of the river, was an ascetic wearing tree bark garments. I could see my arrow protruding from his chest. He was smeared with dust and blood, his thick mass of matted hair in disarray. He lay there groaning. He had just come from water, and the sound I had heard was the gurgling of his water pitcher, which lay nearby with its water run out. Seeing me to be royalty, the ascetic looked up at me with bloodshot eyes and spoke angrily. What wrong have I done, O king, that I should receive this terrible punishment? I came here to fetch water for my blind parents. Even now, as I lie here dying, my poor father must be wondering where I am. But what can he do? He is old and feeble. He cannot move. He can nor help me. He cannot help me any more than a tree could help another which is about to be cut down. O king, you must seek my father's forgiveness. You should quickly make your way along this path. There is where he waits. Dasharath's grief for Ram was compounded by the grief caused by remembering this long past unfortunate incident. With difficulty, Dasharath continued to speak. The young hermit, writhing in agony, asked me to extract the arrow. I hesitated, knowing that the instant the arrow was removed, he would die. The boy reassured me, saying that he was prepared for death. Thus, I pulled out the arrow. Looking at me in dismay, due to anxiety about his parents, the boy died, uttering the name Vishnu. Seeing the ascetic lying there, dead, killed by me out of ignorance and folly, I wondered how I could make amends. I quickly filled his pitcher and followed the path he had shown me toward his parents. As I reached the hermitage, I saw his aged and blind parents. They were sitting forlorn, like a pair of birds whose wings have been clipped. When he heard me approach, the boy's father said, "My son, do not delay. Immediately bring the water. Your poor mother is in anxiety because you must have been sporting in the river for quite some time. Our lives depend upon you, dear child. You are our only support, and indeed our very eyes. Where are you? Why do you not speak?" I was gripped with fear to behold the sage, and I replied to him in a faltering voice, "O holy sage, I am not your son. I am a prince, Dasharath. I have committed a most terrible and evil act out of sheer folly. Hearing your son collecting water, I mistook him for a beast drinking. Therefore, I released a deadly arrow and killed your son. As a result of my rash act, he has ascended to heaven, leaving you here. Now, please tell me what I should do. When he heard my story, the sage, though rich in ascetic power, and thereby capable of burning me with a curse, restrained himself. Sighing in sorrow, with his face bathed in tears, that old rishi, who appeared exceptionally glorious, said to me, "Had you not come here and confessed, then as soon as the news of my boy's death reached me, your head would have been split into 100 pieces by my anger. Indeed, if one consciously kills a hermit engaged in austerity, that death is the only immediate result. You are only surviving now because you have performed this deed in ignorance. The sage asked me to take him to the place where his son lay. I immediately lifted both of the elderly ascetics on my two arms and carried them to the riverbank. Placing them near the dead boy, they cried out in agony and gently stroked his face. The sage then said, "Why do you not greet us today, dearest child? Why are you lying here on the ground? Have you become displeased with us? Here is your beloved mother. Why do you not embrace her, my tender son? Please speak to us. Whose heart-moving voice will we hear now, beautifully reciting the holy Vedic text? Who now will tend to the sacred fire? Who will comfort us with consoling words, deprived as we are now of our only support? My son, how will I be able to support your old mother?" The sage sat weeping for some time. He was lost in grief. Holding his son's head, he said, "Dear boy, wait a while. Do not yet proceed to Yamaraja's abode. I shall go with you and speak to the god on your behalf. I will tell him, although my son has been killed as a result of some former sin, he has in fact become sinless. Therefore, grant to him those regions which are attainable only by Brahmanas perfect in mysticism and the study of scripture, or by heroes who drop their body while fighting fearlessly for the good of the people." Wailing piteously, the ascetic and his wife offered sanctified water to their dead son with mantras and prayers. Then I saw the boy. He appeared in an ethereal form along with Indra, the king of heaven. He gently consoled his parents, saying that he had achieved his exalted status as a result of his service to them. He said they would soon join him in heaven. Then the boy left, seated next to Indra, in a shining celestial car. At that time, the sage said to me, "In order to release you from the terrible sin of killing an ascetic, which can drag even the gods down to hell, I shall pronounce upon you a painful curse. Just as I am dying now in the agony of separation from my son, so in the future shall you die in the grief of separation from your son." After saying this, the sage made me light a fire and place upon it his son's body. Along with his wife, he then entered the fire. The two ascetics gave up their bodies and went to heaven, leaving me stunned and pondering the sage's words. Dasarath was suddenly afraid as he realized that in accord with the sage's infallible curse, his death, his own death, was now drawing near. Controlling his mind, he called out for Kaushalya. His eyes were blinded with tears, and his body was trembling. He said to his wife, "That curse uttered so long ago by the sage is now coming to pass. I shall soon die of grief. Come here, Kaushalya, for I cannot see you clearly. Men on the threshold of death have all their senses confounded." Kaushalya sat close to her husband and comforted him with words. Dasharath then became deeply absorbed in remembrance of Ram. He longed for one last sight of him. He felt anguished and remorseful, wishing he had somehow been able to stop Ram from leaving. The king lay back upon the couch and spoke in a trembling voice, "This grief is drying up my vitality, even as the blazing summer sun sucks out the earth's moisture. Blessed are they who will see the pious and handsome Ram returned 14 years from now. I can no longer see or hear anything. All my senses are failing along with my mind, just as the bright rays of a lamp disappear when its oil has run out. This grief, born of my own self, is rendering me helpless and unconscious, as the current of a swift river wears away its own bank. O Ram, reliever of my suffering, are you really gone? O Kaushalya, my dear wife, O Sumitra, most pious lady, O Kaikeyi, my sworn enemy and disgrace of my family, Dasarath lamented and tossed about in agony for some time. Gradually, he became silent, his mind fixed only upon Ram. Stricken with the intolerable pain of separation, the great emperor gave up his life during the night and ascended to the highest abode of the Supreme Lord.
sacho tero naam.
He Ram, He Ram, He Ram, He Ram.
Tu hi mata,
tu hi beta hai, tu hi mata, tu hi pita hai,
tu hi mata, tu hi pita hai,
tu hi mata, tu hi pita hai,
tu hi to hai radha ka shyam,
he Ram, he Ram, he Ram, he Ram.
सबका स्वामी
तू अंतर्यामी सबका स्वामी
तू अंतर्यामी सबका स्वामी
तू अंतर्यामी सबका स्वामी
तेरे चरणों में चारों धाम
हे राम हे राम हे राम
सवारे
तू ही बिगाड़े तू ही सवारे
तू ही बिगाड़े तू ही सवारे
तू ही बिगाड़े तू ही सवारे
इस जग के सारे काम
हे राम हे राम हे राम हे
जगदाता विश्व विधाता
तू ही 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 सुबह तू ही शाम
हे राम हे राम Ram, he Ram, he Ram, he Ram.
Jag mein sacho tero naam.
He Ram, he Ram, he Ram, he Ram.
Tu hi mata. पिता है
तू ही माता तू ही पिता है
तू ही माता तू ही पिता है
तू ही माता तू ही पिता है
तू ही तो है राधा का श्याम
हे राम हे राम
सबका स्वामी
तू अंतर्यामी सबका स्वामी
तू अंतर्यामी सबका स्वामी
तू अंतर्यामी सबका स्वामी
तेरे चरणों में चारों धाम
हे राम हे राम हे राम
तू ही बिगाड़े तू ही संवारे,
तू ही बिगाड़े तू ही संवारे,
तू ही बिगाड़े तू ही संवारे,
तू ही बिगाड़े तू ही संवारे।
इस जग के सारे काम
तेरा, विश्व विधाता
तू ही, जगदाता विश्व विधाता
तू ही, जगदाता विश्व विधाता
तू ही, सुबह तू ही शाम
तेरा,
तू ही पिता है,
तू ही माता तू ही पिता है,
तू ही तो है राधा भाषा